in the kingdom, if you're operating within the kingdom and the Holy Spirit is operating in you, then the power of His Christ can work. Remember over in Ephesians, it says that same power that He used when He raised Jesus from the dead has now been applied and submitted and poured out into your life. So we have the ability now to take what God has given to us and to use it on purpose to control everything around us. Now, how's it done? Verse 11, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. That's your salvation. That's the salvation. That's the strength, the Holy Ghost, who's your strength. But notice this other verse that says, and by the word of their testimony. See, your words have to agree with what the blood of the Lamb has done for you. See, the blood of the Lamb has produced peace in your life, giving you a right to peace. Because the Bible says you've been redeemed from all aspects of the curse of the law, all of them. There is absolute wholeness has been given unto you. Now, it's your job to get in the word and find out what that means. But you have it. It's in you. Jesus didn't lie. Jesus says, I'm leaving my peace here with you. Did He lie? Oh, Jesus never lied. The Bible says that Jesus perfectly pleased the Father. Well, He ain't pleased the Father but lying. So He's never lied. So if we take the words of our testimony and agree with what the blood of the Lamb has provided for us, peace is a result every single time. No matter what the area may be, peace will be the result. Now, it says, now therefore, verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and they that dwell in them. That's us. That's us too. Because did not the Bible says that we've been made to sit with Him in heavenly places already? We've already acquired that. See, we are in this world, but not of this world, because we're living in the kingdom of God, which means we're actually citizens of heaven. The kingdom of God is just a heaven system here on earth. We're not governed by what this world says and these world circumstances. And you're not even governed. Now, listen to this. You're not even governed by the natural laws, per se, that make up this world system. Now, I'll explain that to you here. Jesus walked on water. That's not physically possible. But see, Jesus is not of this world. So He's able to usurp that law and rise above it and walk on water. For me to get from here to that door, I got to walk past y'all. Y'all see me. Jesus just sped up past the speed of light, moved past. And the Bible said they were looking for where did He go? See, He's not bound to the physics of this world. If the physics of this world are in the way of Him doing what He needs to do, superseded Him and moved on. Move right on past them. Now, you and I, we as born-again believers, we have the ability to do these things. But the problem is we haven't grown up enough in Him, in the Word, to do them yet. Now, that doesn't mean you can't. It just means you haven't grown up to that point yet. Now, I know this may sound a little strange, but Jesus says the works that I do, you can do, and even greater. And then it says, as He is, so are we right here now in this world. So we have the ability to move beyond what this world can offer us. See, we have that. See, that's why God is not nervous when He says peace, because I know what I can do if you'll let me do it. Now, we ain't got to talk about Jesus. There was Philip down there preaching in one place, and before he knew it, he's over here preaching to the eunuch. How would it happen? He covered this, and what happened? What happened? But he did it. We have to grow up into these things. But but see, the devil has constantly got you focused on what was missing, what's broken, and you're missing out on your peace. You're not paying attention to your peace. You're not growing up in peace because you're too focused on what's missing. But God is trying to get you over here saying, now look, I've sanctified you, set you apart in peace. If you'll let me, I've already said I'm faithful and I'll do it. Just let me do it. But that's where you have to come in there and agree with the word. Get your mouth accustomed to confessing the word and believing the word and standing on the word. I don't care what it looks like. Yeah, it may look like everything else is falling down, but I'm not controlled by what I see, think, hear, feel, and touch and can see. But I'm controlled and motivated by what the word says. And the word says I have peace in this area. So, devil, you can't take it. You've lost the right to take it. You don't have any kind of authority anymore. Now it says here, rejoice ye that are in heaven. That's us and all the people that dwell in heaven. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, because the devil has come down having great wrath, because he knows what he has but a short time. See, the world does not know about peace. The world does not. Remember, it says that the world does not know or cannot see or hear what the comforter is saying because it doesn't recognize him, but we do. So we don't have to be in a position where we in woe to the end. We're not the inhabitants of this earth. I'm an inhabitant of the kingdom of God. And Satan does not have authority over me. And nothing he has and nothing he does has any authority over me, because I'm not his child. He's not my king. I live in a new kingdom, which has a new king that's over my life. Now understand this. I was listening to Bill Winston preach, and Bill Winston said that he went to Haiti on a missionary journey, and Haiti's one of the poorest nations in the world. Poor. He said it's just mud. The streets are just mud and trash and stuff everywhere. He said that him and his tour person that was working with him, they were walking down in the middle of the city, and he said he was just poverty everywhere. He said, but they came to this big, giant black gate. And on the other side of the gate was luscious green grass, just as green as you can see, with a big old white mansion sitting up on the hill behind this black gate. Now, everything else on the outside is just poverty stricken. He said he asked the guy, what is that? And the guy said, that's the U.S. Embassy. The ambassador lived there. And meaning this, just because the ambassador was in a poor country, he wasn't bound or subject to what was going on in that country. See, he had a chunk of the United States cut out in Haiti. See, it was mud everywhere else, but behind that gate, green grass, plush house. But the word also says that we are the ambassadors of Christ. So we aren't depending on the world system to get our needs met. We're depending on the kingdom that we live in. Now, that ambassador gets everything he needs from the United States. Everything he needs. Protection, provision, finances, everything he needs, he gets it from home. So as we are living in the kingdom of God, as God's ambassadors, God has to make sure we have wholeness in this earth, because we are representing him here. Now, the ambassador, now this is what Bill Winston said, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. He says, but the ambassador has to say what the president says and can say nothing else. If he says something else, he gets recalled and he has to leave. Now, as us in the kingdom of God, we have to train ourselves to say what the king has said. And when we say what the king has said, constant provisions can come from home. We don't get recalled. But see, we're missing out on that because we're making up our own rules. We're saying what we want to say. Girl, I'm tired. Girl, I'm sick. Man, I'm broke. I'm broke as a joke. And we just constantly, making up our own words. But see, we're not in this world, subject to this world and the laws of this world, all right? So now, we got to get our lips accustomed to speaking what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, and the peace that we're hearing from the word, so that we can begin to attract that kind of peace to us. Now, let's get into this here. I'll start wrapping this up. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 says this. My son, verse 20, attend unto my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to those that find them, and their health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put forth from thee. Verse 23 from the Amplified Bible says this: keep and guard. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard. For out of it flow the springs of life, or the forces of life. The forces of life come out of your spirit. They come out your spirit. Now, how do you guard it? The very next verse says, put away from you a forward and perverse lips. That's speaking words that go against what your king is saying. So now I'm going to guard my heart by guarding what I'm listening to, guarding what I'm looking at, and guarding what I'm saying. Because I know out of my spirit are going to flow the forces of life, all right, or the springs of life. Now, go with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7 says this, verse 37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Verse 38 from the Amplified Bible says, but he who believes in me, who cleaves and trusts in and relies on me, as the scriptures have said, from his innermost beings, from his spirit shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Protect your heart with all cost, because out of it flow the springs, the forces of life. By this he means the Holy Ghost, who is God's spirit, or the spirit of peace on the inside of you. So out of your spirit will flow the force that you need to control everything in your life. Flowing out of your spirit, put away a forward mouth. Agree with what the blood of the Lamb has done for you. And then, remember, a river springs have a force behind it. And if you look at a river, it's pushing stuff. I don't care what it gets, it pushes. The only way you're going to stop a river, build a dam. What did I say the dam was? Sin. When you start sinning willfully, you're building the dam. The river, the force can't get through. Get rid of the dam, the force just pushes it out. If the forces of life will just push all that junk out your life, all that sickness, disease, that force will just come right in there and shoot it on out. Lack and poverty, the force will just push it right on out. But if you dam it up, it's going to stay. See, that's why the devil wants to get you focused on what's missing, what's broken, because then he knows if you focus on that long enough, you'll resort back to that old man, and now you're going to start damming it up. And the taller and the deeper you build your dam of sin, the more of what you see you have, because your words are going to keep it there. But if I remove it out the way and allow the force that's in my spirit to push that mess out of there, it's removed. Now, do you see how your peace will get, that force of peace will move it on out of there? Force it right on out your line. All right? Now, Galatians chapter 5. Peace is a force, a spiritual force that is at work on the inside of us. Now, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit. The Amplified Bible says here, but the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes. Now, here are the forces: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Love is a force. Joy is a force. Peace is a force. Long-suffering is a force. Gentleness is a force. Goodness is a force. Faith is a force. Meekness and temperance, they're forces that you use. They will flow out of you, and they will absolutely help you control everything in your life. They're forces that go out. So peace goes out as a force. When peace is trying, when peace is being disturbed, there's a force in you. Instead of you getting agitated and disturbed, there's a force called peace on the inside that if you release it, it'll help you do what Adam and Eve did, control the circumstances of life. It'll come up out of you, and you'll stand there and do what Jesus said, when the peace be still, and that force will come out of you, and it'll control things around you. But we don't train in this kind of stuff. We train everything else, but we won't train in using what's on this fruit as forces in our lives. Now, Isaiah chapter 26. I'm winding down here, but I want to finish this. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 2 says, "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nations which keep them, which keepeth the truth, may enter in." Verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in the Lord." Now, notice something here. Verse 3 says, from the Amplified Bible, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect, constant peace, whose mind, both his inclinations and his character, is stayed on you." Now, it says here that you will keep him in perfect peace. That word perfect is peace as well. So what it's actually saying, God is actually saying, I will keep you in the peace of peace. So he said it twice. Now, for God to say it twice, he meant it. So I'll keep you in peace, is basically what he says. So that means you have peace in peace. I mean, if you can get it. I mean, that's like taking a glass of water, dropping it in a bucket of water. I mean, it's going to constantly be wet. So he says, I keep you in peace. Or keep your peace perfected in your life. Whose mind, whose thoughts and imaginations are stayed on him. How do you do that? Go back and look at Proverbs 22. Submit, consent to the words of wisdom. Then you will be accustomed to confessing them because you believe them, which will produce a trust in your life. So God is saying, look here, I mean, all through the scriptures, peace is a force. He says, I'll keep you in this peace if you would just stay with me. Agree with me. All right? Now, let's look at these real quick here. John chapter 5. Peace is a force, a spiritual force that you are to use on purpose to control circumstances of life. Spiritual force. It's not something just for you to have something cute to say, girl, I got peace. No, hold on. Use it. God expects you to use it. God never gave you something that he expects to sit on the shelf. Use it. Now, John chapter 5. I don't have the time to read all of these, but I'm just going to kind of get down through here. This is a man, about a man, who they took every single day down to the pool of Bethesda. And they would take all the sick people down there, and they would sit around this pool. And the Bible says that an angel would come down so often and trouble the waters, and the first one to enter in would get healed. So the reason they're down here is because they want to get made whole, right? But Jesus shows up, and this man has been laying there, been coming every day for a long time. He asks him a question. Will thou be made whole? Or do you want your peace today? In other words, the man, well, you know, I don't have anybody to help me. You know, I'm just poor, pitiful me. I try to get there, but somebody always beat me to it. Jesus is like, hold on, that's not what I asked you. Do you want peace? Meaning that in order for you to live in life of peace, you're going to have to want it and accept it. It just doesn't happen because it's available to you. See, Jesus was there available, but if that man had kept on with his excuses, he would have left. So that man said, had to agree with the peace that was there. It says, yes, I want to be made whole. And Jesus says, okay, what did he, verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lying, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in this case, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? Now, verse number 8 says, Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. So immediately what happened? That man received his wholeness. Peace was released. Jesus used his peace on purpose, and what happened? This man was able to walk away from there. Now, he had been in this condition for a long time. But when he got through all, got all of his excuses out of the way and decided to say, yeah, I want to live this life of peace, he received the force of peace into his life, and it changed him. But he had to accept it. Same thing is true with you. If you don't accept the peace, it will not work for you. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. This is a story about blind Bartimaeus. Sat at the edge of the road with his little cup. Ding, 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 ding. Somebody got something for me. Ding, 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 ding. Somebody got something for me. But it said one day he was there with his little cup and he heard a ruckus coming down the road. And somebody said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Now, here's a man that wants peace. Said he threw his cup down and says, started crying, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. And all these, now listen to the devils. Why don't you go ahead and hold your peace?
Right. That's all right.
Stop trying to call in. Just be quiet. Hold on. Don't release your peace. Just shut up and stay where you're at. But the Bible says he started crying louder. Y'all ain't the one down here begging. I am. He started crying louder. Now, his cry for the peace got Jesus' attention, and Jesus stopped and said, go get him and bring him here. Now, they said, look, you ain't got to cry no more. Jesus says, come on over. We come to take you to Jesus. Now, notice what the man did. See, he expected not to come back to that cup because the Bible says he got up, threw off his beggar's clothes because the beggars back then had little garments that they wore so you could know if they were truly out there begging because you couldn't be out there begging. And, you know, they put you in jail and, you know, they get rid of you. But he was truly a beggar. He legally could be a beggar, in other words. But he expected, when I go talk to Jesus, I'm not coming back here. The Bible says he threw off that old coat, left all that begging stuff there, and they went to talk to Jesus. And what Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Whole. There's that word peace. See, got peace. But he had to want it. But in order to get the peace, the way you need it, you got to let go of all this other excuse. Because he could have said, well, you know what? I'm going to hold on to this just in case Jesus can't get it done. But see, he said, no. I'm leaving all this here because I'm not coming back to it. I'm moving on. Peace is going to be seen in my life. See, the force of peace makes things seen, visible. It brings things into the sight realm. So people around you can see, how are they going to know? Girl, I got peace. I can't tell. See, you confessing it by faith, but can't nobody else tell. But see, Jesus and God wants them to be able to tell. God wants you, when you say, girl, I got peace, and see, here it is. And they can say, yes, she got peace. Now, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Here's a story about a Pharisee who put down his religion and tradition because his daughter was dying, set it down, and came to see Jesus. And when he got there, now here's a Pharisee. The Bible said when he got there, he put his pride aside, fell on his face, and said, look here, my daughter's at home getting ready to die. I need you to come to my house. He put all that, he said, if you come here, I know she's going to be, she will live. You can just come with me. If you just make it to my house, she'll be all right. So he had to put all his little religious pride aside. All of it. Bring that chest right on down. It don't matter all who I don't care who out. Because remember, it was a bunch of people out there that day. And he's a ruler of the synagogue for this particular area. So everybody knows who he is. He didn't care who saw him, who was there. I don't care. See, when you get in a tough situations have a way of making you say, I don't give a doggone who see me. I need some help. See, because none of y'all out here can help my daughter. This man can. At least I believe he can. So I'm going to talk to him. So he put his pride aside. Fell on his face. Look here. We got to go. You got to come help me. I need some peace. And what did Jesus do? Turn. Let's go. Jesus didn't question, didn't say nothing, didn't say what happened, why it happened. Jesus turned and started walking. Show me where the house is at. On the way to this man's house to heal his daughter, here's another woman who was at home that said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. So she's already confessing her faith before she got there. And when she got there, she did just what she said. She touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus stopped again. Now, he's supposed to be getting over to heal this man's child who's dying. But he got to stop in the middle of him going to do some work. He got to stop here because somebody else's faith stopped him. Jesus says, who touched me? She says, well, this is, the Bible says she came and she told him the whole story. And Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Now, Jesus gave Jairus a testimony service on the way to his house just so we can get to his house. He can know, just the way I healed this daughter of Abraham, you a son of Abraham, sure enough, I'll heal your daughter of Abraham too. Then the Bible said he went right on up in the house and did what? Made that baby whole. Because she was dead when he got there. Jesus already knew the girl was going to be dead when he got there. He knew that. But he had to give Jairus a testimony service to keep his faith intact because he knew some nuts was going to come out there and say, you might as well give up. She's gone. But Jesus says, that ain't what you asked me for. You asked for me to come help you. See, I'm not concerned. Here back again. I'm not concerned with the elements and the laws of this world. I can get above those, Jairus, if you stick with me. See, yeah, she dead, but that's all right. I got something that can take care of the deadness. See, I got peace. And Jesus constantly, and you can read all through the scriptures where Jesus' faith, they was out there hungry, 5,000, no food. What happened? Jesus came, the peace showed up on the scene. Everybody was full. I mean, constantly read through the scriptures where Jesus used his peace as a force to control. It was controlling his life, and he used to control things around him. And we can do the exact same thing. God expects for us to do the exact same thing. But we won't get it done by being agitated and disturbed all the time. You won't get it done by meditating on everything that's wrong instead of meditating on what the Word of God said about who you are in Christ Jesus. You won't get it done. God is expecting for us to grow up in this peace and all on all the other nine forces that are in us. There are, the Bible says, nine fruits of the Spirit, and every last one of them is a force that you can use on purpose in any area of your life. Because love, the Bible says Jesus used love on purpose. When we read over it says that Jesus had having compassion on them, he's using his love on purpose as a force. That rich young ruler, the Bible says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. He used his love as a force on purpose. You know, patience, temperance. It's a force that you can use to keep stuff in check. But see, these are areas that we have to grow up in, develop. See, we haven't looked at them that way, so we haven't practiced with them that way, and we haven't developed them that way, and so we don't benefit from them that way. But the more we begin to realize that these are spiritual forces that are in me, and I need to protect them, so when I get in a situation where I need them, there's no blockage that can flow. Amen? All right, praise God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word on today, and we thank God for this lesson of peace that we've been in. And we thank you for sanctifying us in this peace, sanctifying our whole spirit, souls, and body. And we thank you, Father, that you're faithful and that you will bring to pass every aspect of that covenant of peace that we have with you in our lives. And it'll be more than just a confession, Father. It'll be a reality. People will see our peace, know we have peace, and then they want to come and know the God of our peace. And we can show them you, Father. We give you praise for all things that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, Father, amen.